This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1. And there'll be a bit of chapter 2 as well. We'll come to that in a minute. So Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Now we have a jump cut to chapter 2, verse 33, which is the reported words of Peter speaking to the crowd in Jerusalem. "Exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rod. Now, there is no kids in Christ today. So, they'd asked, you know, what's they going to do? So, I made up a word search for them and asked Becca if she'd just give us a couple of copies. Well, she went a bit mad and she gave me more than a couple of copies. So, these are the people that I really did it for. And Joy's got some, actually, up there. Now,
would anyone like one?
This is quite dangerous, really, because the danger is that you will concentrate on doing this and not listen to all these words of wisdom. But, on the other hand, sometimes it's easier to listen if you've got something else to doodle with your fingers. So it's up to you. I leave it with you. You can do this, or not bother doing it. Anybody over here, would you like to do a word search? It's about the reading, I have to say. So while we're deciding whether we want to do this, Lord, We pray that you will come and help us to understand these words that maybe we've read actually quite often, that you'll help us to know what they mean for us today, now. So, started off with Theophilus. Who was he? You read who was he, and he could be all sorts of people, actually. In fact, some people even think that maybe Luke just made him up. But then other people think, no, he didn't just make him up, he was a person. So he might have been important. He might have been Roman. He was called most excellent somewhere. So the important thing for us is that Luke sorted things out for him, just like Elizabeth is sorting out the pens for us. Well done, thank you. Now, you know that game where, and I'm sure we've done it here before, where you have a whole line of people and they say something to the person at the front, and then they say it to the person behind, and they say it to the person behind, and at the end, it's something completely different. Now, I don't know if you know the one from the First World War, you know, when they say it, they were in the trenches and they were saying, "Send reinforcements, we're going to advance." And the story that got to head office was...
"Send reinforcements, we're going to advance."
Exactly that. Yes, apparently. I don't know if it's true or if it's apocryphal. But "send reinforcements, we're going to advance," turned into "send 3 and 4p, we're going to a dance." Well, imagine the stories of Jesus. Must have been pretty much like that. Things were so amazing that you couldn't tell what was real, what people thought was real, or what was just made up. "Well, we saw Jesus and he did this." "No, we saw Jesus and he did this." You know? People who weren't there to actually see it with their own eyes, they didn't know what to believe. People were saying all ridiculous things. People like Theophilus. People like us. We weren't there. We didn't see. And at the beginning of his gospel, Luke wrote to Theophilus, "I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning and written an orderly account, so that you may know the certainty of what you've been taught." So we can say thank you to Dr. Luke for sorting it all out for us, so we could know the certainty of what happened. And so Luke then carried on with this second book, with the book of Acts, his second book, which was probably written while he was with Paul, who was under house arrest at some point. Carefully investigated. After Jesus suffered and died, he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And in John's Gospel, John tells us that Jesus cooked a barbecue breakfast for the disciples and ate with them, you know, while he was eating with them. It's got to be a good sign that he was alive, hasn't it? Dead people don't eat. Dead people don't cook breakfast. So, Jesus told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus knew that he was going back to heaven, and he didn't want to leave his friends bereft, on their own, without any help. Now, of course, the disciples, we know the disciples, they had no idea that he was going to leave them again. He had been killed, but now he was alive. He must be some sort of superpower. So they asked, "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Because remember, at this moment, the Romans had invaded all of Europe, right up to Hadrian's Wall in England, and the disciples could see Jesus was unique. John told us that last week. Jesus was unique. No one else had been killed by the Romans and then come back to life. So now, surely, he could overthrow them. Israel could be the homeland that they knew for the Jewish people without interfering Romans. You know, go back to the time that they remembered when everything was as they knew it and lovely. And isn't that what we'd all like, really? To go back to a time when we knew what was what and when it was all lovely? Sorry, it's not Jesus' mission. Onward and upward, quite literally for him. He has a bigger mission than that. A bigger mission than what we remember was lovely. He says, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So, not drawing inward, not just their own people in Jerusalem, but out to the home city, their neighbours. The neighbours they didn't really trust. They were not great friends with the Samaritans. And even then, to the ends of the earth, people they don't know at all. And then Luke shows how astonishing the next bit is. He says, he went up before their very eyes. Not just before their eyes, but before their very eyes, and disappeared behind a cloud. Now, word search people, there is a word in the puzzle that isn't actually in the reading. Have you got any idea what it is? Give you a clue. When Jesus was born on earth, you know, you've been to the shops, you know we're going to celebrate it soon. When Jesus was born on earth, we all know the story, there was a host of angels to explain to the shepherds what was going on. They were frightened. But they did, the angels came to explain to the shepherds what was going on, that the Messiah had been born on earth. Well, come back to the disciples. They're standing there, looking into the sky, wondering, how on earth has Jesus just done that? Suddenly, there are two men dressed in white to explain to the disciples that Jesus has left earth and gone back to heaven, and that at some time he will come back in the same way. So, you know, Jesus' entrance into earth, or onto earth, and Jesus' exit from earth is explained by these heavenly people so that us earthly people know what's going on. If you think about it, he had to do it like that, really, didn't he? I mean, if he just disappeared, you know, have you seen Jesus lately? Oh, I don't know. No, I haven't seen him since I saw him in the shops. So, have you seen him? I saw him last week. Oh, I saw him last month. Where do you think he's gone? He's probably gone down to Egypt. Maybe he's gone down to do some miracles down in Egypt somewhere. Yeah, fancy going away without saying goodbye. You know, if he just disappeared. But this proved who he was. Not only had no one else come alive again after being killed by the Romans, but no one else had just risen up from the ground and gone up into a cloud in the sky. So they just went back to Jerusalem. Wouldn't you love to have been able to hear what they were saying? If you'd just seen somebody just doing that, where had he gone? How had it happened? So that's when we jump to Peter's explanation to the crowds. Remember that Jesus said that the wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So it's happened to Peter. Peter's explanation, the Holy Spirit had arrived just as promised with power, and Peter found himself telling everyone all about it. So where had he gone? And the explanation goes back to one of King David's Psalms. Now, King David was the greatest king that the Jews had ever had, ever. He was a prophet, and he wrote a lot of the Psalms. And this particular one is Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord. Sounds a bit confusing. I thought it did anyway. But apparently it's a translation issue. The two Lords are different. The first one The Lord is God himself, creator of the universe. The second is my Lord, who is the Messiah, Christ the Messiah. In other words, the man we know is Jesus. So if we're being very familiar and possibly a bit irreverent, God said to Jesus, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. David wrote the psalm loads of years before Jesus ever turned up. He was a poet. Was he just having a moment of poetic license? A bit of creativity? So what gives this a bit of gravitas is that Jesus himself used that very same psalm when he was discussing with the Pharisees, and that's in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus knew that the words, my Lord, referred to the Christ who was him. And of course, at that point, the Pharisees weren't happy, because they never were happy with Jesus. They were supposed to be the ones who taught everyone about the old scriptures. So the psalm was written by King David, and it was given Jesus' authority. And it explains where Jesus is, seated at the right hand of God the Father. So there we have it. I believe in Jesus Christ who rose again. That is, he didn't stay dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's what we say in the Apostles' Creed. We can believe it, even though we didn't see it happen, thanks to Dr. Luke, who investigated and researched amongst the people who had been there and did see it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you gave Luke the words to write so that we can read them and we can know what really happened and not be taken away from the truth that is that you did rise, ascend, and that you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen.